called Notorious. Yes, yes, yes. We've got a few notorious figures we're going to talk about today also, okay? Good evening. Oh, my panel, part of my panel is here. We're waiting for the rest of them to join. But anyway, good evening, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing good. Doing real good. Doing real good. And Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. Hey, what's going on, partner?
Okay, you can hear me okay?
I hear you loud and clear, loud and clear. Yes, well, anyway, while we're waiting for the other panel, I just want to say I'm happy here. I was watching the women's NCAA championship, and LSU defeated Iowa 102-85.
Blowout.
Blowout, yep.
Yes, sir.
It was close in the very beginning because Iowa has this young lady by the name of Caitlin. Is it Caitlin Collins? No, it's not Collins. Caitlin Clark. Oh boy, she can shoot. Iowa has a really, really good team. Really good team. But LSU, the first championship in their history. It was absolutely amazing. And you know, something really great. I'm glad to see that women's sports are getting the attention that they rightfully deserve.
Right.
Because, you know, tend to like, especially us guys, we like to watch men's basketball. We like to watch men's football and baseball and the like. And women's sports, they've been slighted in so many different ways. Women's hockey, for instance, they've won far more championships, many more championships than the men have, yet the men were making more money up until then. So I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see it. Something else is coming up later on. This year, probably closer than further away, we're going to talk about should transgender men participate in women's sports, okay? Hold your opinions about that. We're going to have a show regarding that, and we can give our opinions and, you know, our thoughts and whatever, right? But tonight, while we're waiting on the rest of the panelists to come on, we're going to talk about this week in the news. Yes, there's so much happening this week in the news. Okay, we're going to talk about several things. We're going to talk about, speaking of notorious, now let me give you the definition of notorious. Widely known, but not favorable. Okay, so you know who I'm talking about. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But anyway, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about school shootings and gun violence and what can be and should be done regarding that. We're going to talk about climate change because, a lot of neighborhoods and communities and cities, and Ann can attest to that, have been ravaged by these hurricanes this week. There have been a total of about 57 hurricanes this week, Dr. Demery. I mean, tornadoes, I'm sorry. 57. And I think that the wind gust got up to over 100, was it 120, 150 miles an hour? I'm going to let Ann comment on that when she comes back. But there's so much in the news that's happening. The country, oh my God. Speaking of the country, speaking of politics, there's a lot of things to cover. We're also going to talk about cybersecurity, cybercrime. I think last week we also talked about ransomware. We're going to talk about that and so many other things here in the news. But anyway, Dr. Demery, how was your week, my friend?
Very good, very good. I'm just glad I'm healthy. I'm in good health, no pain, anything like that. So I'm doing very well. I mean, I got diagnosed with another diagnosis, diverticulitis.
Oh, no.
I have to eat, and I got gallstones, so I got to just really watch what I eat and be careful and all of that. So I'm just glad that I'm in good shape. I'm doing well, and no worries.
Right, right. Diverticulitis, boy, that is ugly. Remember, you visited me in the hospital when I had that, and yes. It is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
It is, boy, I'm going to tell you, and I don't know whether you know anybody who's ever had that or...
I have a friend who was very young. She got diagnosed in her 30s with it. She's been hospitalized several times.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's something that I, look, I don't wish that on anyone. I'm going to be honest with you about that. Right. It will. I believe diverticulitis would drop a horse to his knees. I really believe that. So, but anyway, let's talk about while the other panelists are we're waiting for them to come on. Let's talk about what's happening in the news now. I didn't think it was going to happen this week. I didn't think it was going to happen until after the Attorney General in New York came back, because they're going to take a long break during the month of April, this month, and they're going to take off most of the month. And so remember the former president, he talked about how he expected to be arrested, a couple of Tuesdays ago, right? And, you know, there's something to be said about you better watch what you're wishing for. And as a matter of fact, he raised when he made that announcement, he raised over $5 million. Now, I don't know why people are still contributing to this guy. I don't know what it is. I guess people just like throwing their money away. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, do you think he would spend any of his money to help them? Well, pass is proof of what of that he won't. He won't do that. But anyway, let them keep doing that. Another thing, and I want you to comment on this too. The Republicans, they are really circling around this guy and embracing him and supporting him. And look at all of the charges that's going on. We're talking about, and they want to, and then I need your opinion on this. They want to subpoena the Attorney General of New York State, Mr. Bragg. Is it Alvin Bragg? Mr. Bragg, they want to subpoena him to come to in front of this kangaroo. Yes, this kangaroo Congress. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they want to go. I don't know what they want to ask him or anything like that, but he sort of gave them the virtual middle finger. And they have no jurisdiction.
He's a state employee, not a federal employee.
Right.
I mean, it's the attorney general for the state of New York, I think you said, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's, he's acting on behalf of the state, not on behalf of the federal government. So, now, whether or not he'll comply, it will remain to be seen, mm-hmm. but it's not like he's a federal, actor, a federal employee. He's not a member of the Senate. He's not, a member of the Department of Justice or somebody like that, that they would have, authority over. So it would be interesting to see if he does more than just flip him the bird.
Okay. Well, I know they have subpoena power, but do they have the power to ask him? I mean, they can't make him come, or can they?
Well, the way that I understand it, because he was acting as an elected official, for the state of New York, and he's not, acting under any federal authority, it doesn't seem to me like they should be able to do anything to him, mm-hmm. In terms of him prosecuting a case against Trump. Now, like I said, if he was a member of the Department of Justice, they may be able to question him. But this is just another one of those examples of them interfering in basically an investigation, in a prosecution. Basically, they're abusing their authority.
Yeah, I would think so also. Now, look at this. When the January 6th committee subpoenaed people just like Mark Meadows and the like and a few others, they refused to come in and testify. Now, I don't know whether they issued a subpoena for them to show up or not, but they just said, no, we're not doing it. I really, and like I said, I am not a lawyer by any means or anything like that. But I really don't think, since he is a state prosecutor, I don't think they have any grounds on calling him. And I don't think that he has to just surrender and say, okay, yep, I'm coming in and I'm going to come to your clown show, because that's all it is. And because you can imagine how that's going to play out when you got the likes of Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all these other clowns. I don't see how that would do anything. Now, what is really, and not so surprising to me, is that these congressmen, now, I'm not too fond of this guy over here in West Virginia either, Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema, and they're Democrats. I'm really, you know, not favorable of them too. Now, even though Biden, I think he has done a lot, I think that he has some areas that needs to be toned up a little bit, but it's going to be very, very, very interesting. Now, you would think that Congress, if you elected to Congress, and if I were elected to Congress, then I think that my job is to go there and really do something to really help help out the nation, look at things like climate change and inflation and things of that nature. And they're still holding the budget hostage, which could really jeopardize the good credit that the United States has. And it could make things really hard on our people who are relying on funds to operate, like your police departments and things like that, your fire departments, and all the other public services that are very, very important to the country, you see. But anyway, let's change gears a little bit, and let's talk about the 57 tornadoes that ravaged a lot of the Midwest, and especially you know something about that that happened in your area.
I do. I do want to, before we move on, there, I looked up something for you that I thought you might find interesting. This isn't the first time they tried to get an attorney general subpoenaed. Congress sued and a district judge sided with lawmakers during the Bush administration appealed, and President Barack Obama took office while the case was still pending. And in this particular instance, the new administration settled the case, granting Congress access to some of the documents it sought and allowing sworn testimony from Myers at the time. By then, a year and a half after Congress issued the subpoena, the oversight issue largely was moot. The same thing happened when the Republican-controlled House Oversight Committee sought to subpoena Attorney General Eric Holder. And now this was the Attorney General of the United States of America that they were trying to subpoena at the time. And Myers, he was a U.S. District Attorney. So if they're, you know, having issues with federal employees, I can only imagine what the lawsuit is going to be like in, when they try to, you know, subpoena the state attorney general. So, and this was an article back in, oh gosh, can Congress make Attorney General Barr testify? Here are the rules. And that article was by NBC News' Ken Delanian. So just to give you an idea of what's happened in the past versus what the uphill battle might look like in the future. But on to the tornadoes. Yeah, right here in Little Rock, it was really scary on Friday. We had two tornadoes to touch down in Little Rock. Everybody talks about that first one because it started out in West Little Rock in a really populated area where there were homes, shopping centers, and it tore up a lot of that area, a lot of the homes in the area. Interstate 430 was shut down because there were flipped over cars and whatnot on the interstate, which was next to the shopping center, the Kroger shopping center. And, of course, there was damage to that Kroger and the other stores in the building and, of course, the cars and whatnot that were in that particular shopping center. I work downtown on the 11th floor, and we heard the sirens go off, and we were told, of course, to get to the safe spaces, which happened to be the stairwell, which is close to where my office is. And my boss, you know, he saw me standing there. He's like, come here, let me show you something. We went out to his office, and we could watch literally the funnel cloud in West Little Rock, and we tracked it all the way crossing the river, watched it go over to the military base area, Camp Robinson. And then my boss saw it moving from that part of North Little Rock, and he's like, it's headed to Sherwood. And I was like, no, it's not, because this is where we live. We moved to Sherwood, and my husband works from home. And so all I could do was pray. And I called my husband. I was like, you need to, you know, get out of the office and go downstairs. He's like, I've already moved. He told me that, you know, it's coming this way. I'm like, no, I'm looking at it. And it's right over Sherwood. It looks like it's right in our area. And he said it got bad. But of course, thank God our neighborhood was spared, around the corner from where we live. I guess I shouldn't say around the corner, but if you go down Brockington, one of the apartment complexes, the roof was off the second floor. Debris was all in the streets. And then the store across the street from it, the hardware store, had windows blown out. So yeah, it was a rough day. West Little Rock got the brunt of it, the most damage. But the second funnel cloud it was headed straight for my mother's daycare, which is in North Little Rock. Thank God it didn't hit the area. But yeah, it was kind of scary.
Wow. And
so I can only imagine what it was like in areas where, you know, they had the tornado on the ground consistently. Because if it had stayed all the way on the ground, things would have been a lot worse, a whole lot worse.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, and I looked at one of those communities, and it just looked like the houses or that were there, it was just all, the entire neighborhood was just reduced to matchsticks almost. It was just absolutely incredible. And I mean, these people's homes were just absolutely destroyed. Now, there were two in Arkansas, but there were 57 throughout the Midwest.
Well, there were two in Little Rock. You had more than two in the whole state. It left here, went to other areas. You know, when it left the Little Rock area, left the Sherwood area. North of Sherwood is Jacksonville. Jacksonville got hit, past Cabot, and went and hit some other areas. Then there was one in Wynn, which was really bad. It stayed on the ground. You can see from the aerial photos that it, as they put it, split the city in two. So you can see where the destruction lay, and on one side and the other side of that destruction, everything was fine. And then this particular path of the tornado, just nothing but, you know, leveled homes and businesses, all kinds of debris. So yeah, and that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the only place. About 40 miles north of Memphis, there was another tornado. And then they've had some in the north central part of the country too. Overnight Friday into Saturday, it's just been bad. It's just been a rough week.
It's been really rough. Now, welcome back, to the panel, Mike Ward. Hey,
Mad Mike. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, my friend? Yes, yes, yes. Well, glad to see you.
Thank you, guys, but I was kind of in coast-to-coast mode where we started 15 after the hour instead of on the hour. So, yeah.
Well,
my old Swiss cheese brain just doesn't function as well as it used to.
Well, I think Dr. Sims, she's in coast-to-coast mode, too, because she tried to log in, you know, after we started, and I'm going to see if I can get her. But anyway, I want to start this panel off. I want to talk about gun violence, and wish I didn't have to, but I think we have to, as much as we can contribute and maybe give some ideas, some solutions. Dr. Sims, she's having problems connecting. So let's see what that's all about. I'm gonna try to reach her, but, what happened here with those six precious souls being killed in that school? By a young lady, she was only like 28 years old, and came in with two AR-15s. Okay, and
okay, that was not a lady.
No, okay. I'm just trying to be. You know,
you talking about the Nashville shooter?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that was a guy. I'm sorry.
No, that was a woman.
A transgender woman. So he was. She was not born a woman, put it that way.
Oh.
So a biological male, is that?
Right. That was a biological male.
Okay. All right. Because I've read it both different ways. I'm a little confused like William. I've read different reports. Some called her a male, some called her transgender, some called her a female. You know, it's like our news media, they barely get it right.
So. We don't know how to deal with this. It's new. All they want to be politically correct. And so the person in question preferred to be referenced as a female. So they're saying a woman, but it was a transgender woman, meaning it was a male who lived his life as a woman. So it wasn't really a woman shooting up the school. It was a guy.
Well, whoever it was, they shot up the school, and it's a doggone shame. Okay. And now what we're going to talk about also, we're going to talk about transgender women. Okay. Competing in female sports. Down the road here, not today. We're not going to get into that conversation today, but that's a conversation that I think that needs to be had. And I think we're going to talk about it also, but let's get back to the gun violence itself. Mike, being a law enforcement officer and also Dr. Demery, they can tell us, and by our own accounting and studying and reading and things like that, we also have an idea of what these military style weapons, not only military style, but actually manufactured for the military, if I understand correctly in the beginning. If you're fighting against your enemy in another or other countries or whatever it is. And Mike and I, we've talked about this we've talked about this quite a bit. And Mike, I want you to start this off because my belief is, Nobody, unless you're in the army and you're fighting overseas or whatever it is, you should not have an AR-15 or an AK-47. Now, am I anti-Second Amendment? No, not really. I think that we all have the right to protect ourselves. Okay, I think we all have a right to protect our families, our properties, and things of that nature. But, Mike, I want your take on this, brother, because, again, and I know I'm being redundant, nobody should have these. And what really infuriates me is that our so-called leaders in Congress especially, and even some in the Senate, don't want to do anything to really address the issue. Like, for instance, in Tennessee, which we were talking about, they don't even want red flag laws. They even want others to be able to walk down the street with an AR-15, in full display. Now, that is the most ridiculous thing that I hear. Now, you talk about some of our so-called Congress, and keep in mind, how is Congress, how are they getting paid? Through our tax dollars. Yet, majority of Americans, they want red flag laws. They don't want these weapons easily accessible by anyone because they want to make sure that when their children go to school, that they don't have to worry about them being killed. Now the four of us and Dr. Sims, she's having trouble logging in, and as soon as she can get in, then we want to let her. But Mike, I don't understand this. This makes no sense that the majority of Republican and Democrats constituents, they want tougher gun laws. They don't want anyone to have an AR or AR-15 or AK-47 because you can't hunt with them. I doubt you can target shoot with them. I don't know. I've never shot one. Mike, I want your take.
That's a lot to unpack, William, and I'm probably going to need Ann's help along the way here. First, I'd like to think that I'm very fair, and I test myself constantly by reversing situations. If you're going to be fair about these things, and Ann, I don't know if you do this as a lawyer or not, but I test things by, can I argue both sides effectively? You do that, Ann? Yeah, so I try to argue both sides instead of just, and I try not to be emotional about it. And I think too many people make emotional decisions rather than rational decisions based on facts. Am I in favor of of parameters being in place before people can buy a gun. And let me use an example. If you want to drive a car, William, or any Dr. Demery, and if you want to drive a car, you have to learn how to drive it quickly and safely. You mm-hmm. have to go, you have to be licensed, you have to show proficiency, you have to show safety. So I would like to see those things put into place. That some are already put into place, but I'd like to see more put into place where you must receive training. I'd like to see ongoing training where, like, every couple of years or every 5 years, you have to recertify that you're safe. You can't, with a gun, you have to be able to hit what you're aiming at rather than collateral damage. You have to show that you are mentally stable. How you go about that, I'm not quite sure, but I'm sure we can come up with something. So I'm all for not necessarily new laws, but I am for putting parameters in place that will make sure that the people that do have guns buy guns, at least are licensed, certified, safe, and can function within society with a weapon.
Absolutely.
I'm against further laws, and I think we touched on this last week. I don't like, well, we need more laws. We need more laws. We need more laws because the politicians get on their soapbox. They beat their chest. See, I made a new gun law. I made a new gun law. Reelect me. Reelect me. New gun laws aren't necessarily going to help. As I mentioned last week, if I gave each one of you a piece of paper and said, would you kindly write down the gun laws that the criminals are going to follow, you're going to get lost. So more laws, who are the laws going to actually affect? Law-abiding citizens. So now you're putting more boxes and hoops to jump through for the law-abiding citizen. Criminals don't care about laws. They steal most of their guns anyway. Mike and Dr. Demery jump in here. But my experience is that home burglaries usually get a gun or two. So most of the guns that are on the street are in the hands of the criminals. They're not going to the gun shop to buy them. A lot of them have criminal records. They can't buy them. They can't pass the background check. So they're getting these guns on the street. They're mainly from cars that are broken into or homes that are broken into. Dr. Demery, would you like to comment?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I think for one who used to have a CCW, I don't now. I let it lapse, but I had a CCW, and everyone I knew that had a CCW, by the way, CCW stands for Concealed Weapons Permit, were law-abiding, and those were the people I were not afraid of. The ones I was afraid of were the crooks, like you're saying, and those were the ones that didn't need a gun, shouldn't have a gun, and those were the ones that were committing all the crimes. It's not the people who were legally carrying the guns or had a gun, and most people that I know, now I said most, not all, but most that I know that have guns in their homes are very responsible citizens. You know, they keep them locked up so kids can't get to them and whatnot like that. But, you know, you always have a few rotten apples that slip through the cracks. And I talk to most teachers that I've talked with. My brother is a retired teacher. His wife is a retired teacher. And they said that they don't think teachers should have guns because most of the teachers are kind of unstable themselves.
All right.
Are loose cannons themselves and have short fuses. So they said they're against teachers having guns unless they get really evaluated, you know, pretty seriously, and know what they're doing if they have. If you have a firearm, it is a lethal weapon, and you can kill somebody with it. And with that comes great responsibility. It's like, you know, you've heard me quote Reinhold Niebuhr, one of my favorite theologians. Some of you don't know who in the heck he is, but Reinhold Niebuhr said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you have that type of lethality, you have to have great responsibility. And as was mentioned, you have to have great care. You need training. You need to know what you're doing. You need, if you have to use it and you have to shoot at somebody, you need to be able to hit the person and not, you know, kill five other people in the process.
Yeah. Now, I appreciate both these gentlemen's argument. The problem that I'm having is that the people who've been who have committed these mass shootings that we were talking about, they bought these guns legally.
Yeah, that's something totally different. I believe me, I do get that if you want to get a handgun, you can get one. But when it comes to assault rifles, when we had an assault rifles ban, because there was a law that was passed in 1994 that banned the sale of assault style rifles, those type of weapons rather. And when that ban was lifted, the number of mass shootings increased dramatically. And I don't want you to take my word for it. According to the U.S. Senate Committee on the Judiciary's website, this article dated September 24th, 2019 says, studies, gun massacre deaths dropped during assault weapons ban, increased after expiration. Gun massacres fell 37% while the ban was in place, rose by 183% after ban expired. As the House Judiciary Committee prepares to hold a hearing on federal assault weapons ban legislation on September 25th, Senate Judiciary Committee Ranking Member Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California, released the following statement on misinformation spread by the National Rifle Association. The NRA likes to say the 1994 federal assault weapons ban didn't work, but it did work. The data is clear. There were fewer mass shootings while the assault weapons ban was in effect and significantly more after it expired, Feinstein said. Feinstein continued, gun massacres of six or more killed decreased by 37% for the decade the ban was active, then shot up 183% during the decade following its expiration. There's no disputing those numbers. The goal of the assault weapons ban in 1994 was the same as it is today, to prevent mass shootings by beginning to dry up the supply of military-style assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. There are roughly 15 million assault weapons in the United States today, so no law will be immediately effective. But by banning the manufacture and importation of new guns and implementing voluntary buyback programs, we can again start to get these weapons of war off our streets. That's how we will save lives, and we need to act now. NRA myth, the NRA says the 1994 through 2004 federal assault weapons ban didn't work. Fact, the ban did work, and a number of studies lay that out. University of Massachusetts researcher Clarivis, author of the book Rampage Nation, found that the number of gun massacres dropped by 37% and the number of gun massacre deaths fell by 43% while the ban was in effect compared to the previous decade. After the ban lapsed in 2004, those numbers dramatically rose, a 183% increase in massacres and a 239% increase in massacre deaths. A 2019 study in the Journal of Trauma and Acute Surgery found that based on data from 1981 to 2017, there were fewer mass shooting deaths while the ban was in place. A 2017 study in the Journal of Urban Health observed that law enforcement recovery of assault weapons fell nationwide while the ban was in place. Excuse me, and this is base, I think they meant place, indicating that they were used in fewer crimes, but increased after the ban expired. Mm. A 2004 University of Pennsylvania study conducted for the Justice Department explained that the use of assault weapons in crime declined by 70% 9 years after the assault weapons ban took effect. Feinstein gun safety bill. Senator Feinstein has introduced several pieces of legislation during the 116th Congress related to gun safety reform. Now, we all know what happened when she did that back in 2019. Nothing of substance took place. But the fact that you had all this information readily available before the Congress, and we got to remember who was president during 2019 and who was in control of the House and or Senate at the time, and whose pocket, who was in the NRA's pocket. And so it's no wonder that we didn't get the assault ban, weapons ban back into place. And I don't care what people feel about having guns. I don't care what people say about the Second Amendment. I am not against you having a gun. I am against you having a weapon, such as an assault weapon, in your home. I'm against you having, I don't know, grenades. I'm against you having all these types of things, because the feeling that I'm getting, and in this particular instance, I am going to say feeling, Mike, is that these are not people who are intending to, quote unquote, protect themselves from, say, a home invasion or from their car being carjacked or stolen or whatever. These are people who are preparing for war. They have proven over and over and over again that they are violent, that they are angry, and that they are extremist, and they have no problem whatsoever not just bullying people with their rhetoric, but acting out on their ideological beliefs. They've proved that on January 6th. They proved that at different rallies. The one in, what was it, Charlottesville, where they were running people over with cars. Mm-hmm. They go to these different rallies. They've punched people at political rallies at the behest, rather, of the person who told them to hit that person in the face or that person in the mouth. These are violent people. And when you've got that many unstable, violent people all at once acting in concert with one another, that is a problem. That's my concern. And especially when they are members of Congress and they're posing with AK-47s in the photos, when there's a big question mark as to whether or not a lot of them were involved in what was happening on January 21st. Well, it's not a question mark for me. I think there's plenty of evidence to prove that many of the Republican members of Congress were involved to quite an extensive degree in what took place. But these things are scary. And I don't think we as a country are responding to it as strenuously as we should be. We want to believe that our republic is safe, that our republic can withstand all this. But I have a very, well, let's just say if things keep trending the way they are, I would not doubt that they get exactly what they want, that the violent people do something violent, like they did on January 6th, like they've done in countless other situations, and we end up, you know, with a very bad situation, a much worse situation than January 6th.
Right. And I want you to check out something for me while I go to Dr. Sims. And I know that the United States leads all countries in violent deaths due to guns. Okay. And I think that if memory serves me correctly, or if my information is correct, that you can take all the countries combined and we still have more violence per year, per capita, than anybody around.
That's not correct. Listen, well, I love you, buddy, but that's not accurate.
Well, in fact, okay, well, then I tell you what, I will stand corrected. I need some stats on that. I need some stats, and let's come up with it. But we are the number one leader in murders in this country. More than any other country. Is there any debate about that?
You talking about mass shootings?
I'm talking about gun violence as far as citizens are concerned. I'm not talking about these war-ravaged nations. But I tell you what, I have seen statistics on that, and I will stand, if I am wrong, I will stand corrected. I have no problem with that. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's helpful if I am wrong and make a false statement, correct me. I have no problem with that, but
I can do it really easy, and you guys can all do this together, not right this second, but go to YouTube and look up Bill Whittle, and he does a commentary, and it's called Number One with a Bullet, where he breaks down the gun deaths per capita worldwide, and he starts out at the world, does all the 218 countries or something like that. He takes over 200 countries, goes country to country. It's about an 8-minute video, so it's not very long. Then he breaks it down and brings it into the United States. Then he breaks it down by state and by gun ownership. And he does it with nationally recognized statistics. And I hate statistics because, you know, people can manipulate statistics a great deal, and I don't like it. So I like to research my own stuff and get multiple points of view. Bill Whipple, number one with a bullet. Take a look at that. Like I said, it's a 6 or 8 minute video, and he breaks worldwide crime down. In fact, maybe next week or something, we can actually show it because William and I figured out how to show a video here on StreamYard.
Awesome.
I highly recommend it. The guy's very, very logical, and he tells where he gets all the stats from. So he discloses all the receipts, what they'd like to say. And before we get any further, and while I got the mic here for a second, I've got to address this whole AR-15 thing.
Okay.
Everyone thinks that AR stands for assault rifle. It does not.
Okay.
It's the manufacturer. It stands for arm light rifle. That's the manufacturer. So AR has nothing to do with assault rifle. An AR-15 shoots the same round as so many other Woodstock guns. Everyone thinks that this supposed assault rifle is far more deadly than these other rifles. I have a Ruger Mini 14. It's called a ranch rifle. It has Woodstocks. It shoots the same 223 round. You pull the trigger once and it goes bang once. We're not talking about fully automatic weapons because fully automatic weapons haven't been legal since, I think, the 1920s here in the United States. The AR-15 has never gone to war. It has never been used by the military. The AK-47 has, but the AR-15 has not. And if you get the civilian version of the AK-47, it's the same. You pull the trigger once and it goes bang once. My Ruger Mini 14 has 20-round clips on it, so those would be classified as high-capacity magazines. If you remove AR-15s, single shot, because they just automatically cycle, semi-auto, not fully auto. Everybody gets those two confused. They think all these assault rifles are fully automatic. They are not. Pull the trigger once, it goes bang once. If you remove AK-47, that fire one round at a time, and you remove AR-15s that fire one round at a time, know what the criminals and the wackos, and there's a lot of wackos out there, and Dr. Sims, you know as well as I do, there's a lot of whack jobs out there. We need to address the whack jobs. If you remove those rifles that I just mentioned, those two that William mentioned earlier on, they're going to use the Mini 14. They're going to use another manufacturer that shoots the same round or a bigger round. A 223 round is a rather small round. I'm sorry I don't have one in front of me right here, but it's a 22 caliber in its circumference, and the round is only about that big. If I really wanted to hurt you, I'd use a 30-06, now I shouldn't put this information out there, but I have to get people to understand that the supposed assault rifles are not more deadly. They just look more scary, and they look more militaristic. If I wanted to go clean house somewhere, which I don't, so don't send the football over to my house, please. I have no desire to hurt anyone. I would take a 12-gauge shotgun because I can hit multiple people with a 12-gauge shotgun. It shoots 9 pellets at a time, which are the caliber of a 38. So think of it. Every time I pull the trigger on a 12-gauge shotgun, it's shooting 9 rounds out there that are the same size as a 38 pistol round with one pull of the trigger. And you get the spread, I could hit more people with a 12-gauge shotgun than you're ever going to hit with an AR-15, AK-47, or a Mini 14. So the criminals and the whack jobs will use a hammer, a knife, a baseball bat. They'll use another rifle in the same caliber where they can get 20-round clips or 30-round magazines. So this whole banning of the scary-looking assault rifles, and I haven't had anybody describe to me what an assault rifle is. Again, fully automatic machine guns have been banned since the 20s, I believe. So if it's a gun that you pull the trigger once and it goes bang once, what makes it an assault rifle?
Now, let me ask you a question, Mike. There's something called a bump stock. Is that correct?
Yes.
That can make it automatic. Am I correct about that?
It's still a semi-automatic handgun, but it increases the rate of fire.
Okay.
So it starts to approach that of a true machine gun.
Now,
I think I can answer your question if you want me to.
Go on, please.
There's an article from U.S. News. I think it's U.S. News and World Report, but it says U.S. remains an outlier in firearm possession gun-related deaths. And it's by Chris Gilligan, excuse me, and it's was written January 30th, 2023. In 2017, U.S. civilians held an average of 120.5 firearms per 100 people, the highest rate in the world by a factor of more than two. January has been another month of devastating gun violence in the United States as a string of mass shootings impacted communities in California. The headlines have become all too familiar for Americans who have endured a seemingly endless slew of firearm-related violence in recent years. Indeed, the U.S. continues to set itself apart from its international peers in terms of gun ownership and firearm deaths. In 2017, U.S. civilians held an average of 120.5 firearms per 100 people, the highest rate in the world by a factor of more than two, followed by Yemen, 52.8, Montenegro, 39.1, Serbia, 39.1, and Uruguay, 34.7, according to data from the Small Arms Survey, an independent research project located at the Graduate Institute of International and Development Studies in Geneva, Switzerland. In other words, the United States was the only country with more civilian-held guns than citizens. Reports in recent years have also shown the U.S. to have among the world's highest rates of gun-related deaths, including through interpersonal violence, self-harm, and unintentional injuries. Among 204 countries analyzed by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the U.S. came in 20th for the highest rate of firearm deaths in 2019. Americans died due to firearms at a rate of 11.3 per 100,000 people that year. Among the 40 largest countries in the world in 2019, the United States ranked fourth after Colombia, Brazil, and Mexico in terms of having the highest rate of deaths due to firearms. From 2014 to 2020, gun-related deaths in the U.S. rose 35%, according to nonpartisan data center USA Facts. According to the 2017 Small Arms Survey, the U.S. had the highest rate of civilian gun holdings in the world among the top 40 countries by population. Only three had higher rates of gun deaths in 2019. When compared with nations in Africa, Asia, and Europe, countries in North and South America tended to have much higher rates of gun-related fatalities. In 2019, the 23 countries and territories with the highest rates of gun-related deaths were located in the Americas. Suicide with LGBTQ Americans and American Indian and Alaska Native populations, among groups particularly at risk, is a significant contributor to the prevalence of firearm-related death. According to the IHME data, 7.1 out of 100,000 Americans died by firearm-assisted suicide in 2019. This represents the second highest rate in the world after only Greenland. And no other countries had a rate higher than 5 per 100,000 people. By comparison, the American fatality rate for interpersonal gun violence was 4 per 100,000 people, and the rate of unintentional death by firearm was 0.2 per 100,000. As gun-related deaths rose from 2014 to 2020, so did U.S. firearm background checks, increasing by 89%. In 2022, background checks dipped back down to pre-pandemic levels, but the 2022 total of 30.8 million remains 48% higher than in 2014. Sorry, my computer froze, so you guys will have to.
Okay, I'm going to go to Dr. Sims right now. Okay, and I really want to find out as far as mass shootings are concerned. Okay, because we've had over 100 and how many? 150 so far, and we're just going into the fourth month of the year, and we had over 600 last year mass shootings. And see, my whole thing for talking about this is that I'm really concerned about our children. and the environment that they're growing up in. None of us, I believe this to be true. We didn't have to. How many of us had mass shooting drills in school?
None.
Okay, this is my point. And so I'm looking at countries with the highest total gun deaths, all causes in 2019. Brazil, I stand corrected, Brazil was number one, but the United States was number two. Brazil had 49,436, and the United States had 37,038, followed by Venezuela, Mexico, India, Colombia, the Philippines, and Guatemala. Dr. Sims, as when we open this up, my opinion still, and I'm going to stick with this, I'm not here to advocate anybody losing their Second Amendment rights. Understand that. I agree with Mike. If you want to drive in this country, then you need a driver's license. Okay. And there are certain jobs that, you can apply for. You're going to need a background check. Okay. I don't see any problem with having, and I believe that most of the citizens, and especially the citizens who own guns, and I'm talking about lawful people who own guns, they want background checks. Okay. They want, for us, like you said, we not need to pass any laws, but, enforce the laws that's already on the books. And I'm going to stick with what I say. I don't think anyone should have an AR-15 because a lot of these guys are buying these bump stocks, which makes them what, semi-automatic? Okay.
Well, they're still a semi-automatic rifle, but it increases the, because what happens is you can't, as fast as you can pull the trigger, a round's going to come out the barrel. What the bump stock does is, it creates a function where your finger will pull the trigger faster because the rifle's actually rocking back and forth at a fast rate and you just hold your finger still. So it's increasing the rate of fire by using the bump stock. As far as I'm concerned, I don't see any useful purpose for a bump stock. Again, I've got to go back to these assault rifles. There are many other rifles that fire exactly the same way. The function is exactly the same. The only difference is they look militaristic. So if you eliminate those rifles, you're just going to go to the other rifles that shoot the same round the same way. The function is all identical.
Well, again, now I hear you loud and clear. Dr. Sims, the problem that I'm having with these apps also is what I'm hearing, okay, because I don't own one, is that once these rounds enter the body from these, I'm going to say assault-style rifles or AR-15, AK-15, it goes in, but it comes out like it explodes inside of the body almost. And can you imagine one of those hitting a child? They already have a small frame as it is, and the organs are closer together in those little tiny bodies. So I'm against these things. I'm going to stick with that. That is my opinion. And I don't deny anyone else's their own opinion. I just disagree with these rifles. I disagree with them.
I'm sorry. Give me just a sec here. That 53 round is a rather small round for a rifle, number one. And if you fire that round out of another rifle that's not a AK-style rifle, it's going to do the same thing to the body. And yes, they have hollow points and yes, they do expand in the body. If I shot you with a 30-06, which is three times the size of a 223, it'd blow you in half. So there's other weapons out there and other rounds out there that are far more deadly than what the AK-47, shoots. The 223, again, maybe next week I'll bring him and show you. But the 223 is a rather small round for a rifle.
Well, if you got something that's more powerful than that, ban that too. Dr. Sims.
Wow. You guys forgive me. I was having a real bad, hi everybody.
Okay.
Been heated. And I was sitting up here trying not to use some bad language or ain't spiritual with my PC. Anyway, we're here and we made it. But listen, this is really quite an interesting, topic. And I was about assault rifles and things like that. And types of guns that are being used with the intent to kill. And I was listening to everybody, and I know we're dialoguing on the bullets and how they do the body, and we have some that explode in the body. We have bullets that are called cop killers. They go through cars. They go through metal, all kinds of stuff. My thing is this. any gun in the hands of somebody who is not mentally stable, okay, and any child, any adult, the intended target is to kill. There really is no target, as far as I'm concerned. You have our kids who are being going to school in fear, because it appears to me in this dispensation that they are targeting the schools.
Why is that, Dr. Sims?
Because they don't want the school. The schools are at a disadvantage. The schools, to me, as far as I'm concerned, is at a disadvantage as of safety measures. They're finally trying to wake up regarding that, because there's a quorum of students, and there is an intent to make a statement in the pursuant of whatever's going on in their minds. Somebody can back up on this, but they are pursuing our children. Now, our children, and I have to go biblical on here, okay? It's almost like Satan has put out an all-out war on our children, and they don't want them to get to their full potential. But I need to back up on these guns. When we're talking about doing background check, let me stay on here. Yes, background check is necessary. How are you going to, questions should be asked, how are you going to do a background check when guns are delivered illegally? Illegally, okay? Intentionally. I mean, we can sit here and be kissy-faced with each other, but let the rubber meets the road. There are illegal guns distribution in many of our cities, AK-40s, whatever you want to call it, and they want the all-out war. The intent is to keep the unrest going on, and guess what better way to do it? Drugs, guns. Huh? I'm sorry.
That's to create terror, and that's why they call it terrorists. So if you got terrorists right here in the home, and if I can back up just a bit on schools, we didn't have mass shootings at schools until schools became gun-free zones and the criminals know it. So what's a soft target where there's no, where for the most part there's no guns, is schools. So where do they hit? They hit the schools. And what creates more terror than to terrorize our children?
But Mike, I'm telling you, I've been watching this thing. Yes, they're going to the children, of course, and they're targeting the children. But I think because what is going on in society, what is being, people are being under duress, depression, anxieties, mental instability, all of that. Where that come from? That comes from mind manipulation. It has to start somewhere. People just don't get an idea, I'm just going to go out and shoot somebody. That's not it. You look at the games that are geared for killing. My youngest son was playing a game, and it looked so real. Yep. When they were shooting. He was playing people from all over the country. And it was a war game, cutting off heads and things like that. These are some of the games that are getting in the hands of some of our sick folks, okay? And they are going after, and they're living in a delusional world. Not all of them, but many of them, I would say all of them, anytime you go to a school, there is an issue mentally with someone. Or they have something where, and another thing we have to back up on, a lot of these kids are asking for help. These people have asked for help, and they've been ignored. You can no longer ignore somebody who's crying for help that has some mental instability. You can't do it, and that's what we've done.
And you're dead on. You're absolutely correct.
And in the schools, the children have been abused in their homes. They've been abused by bullies. And so guess what? Their own rationale is to get rid of the issue. And so that gives them a sense of ease by doing that. And that's a wrong motive. But the thing, we got to pinpoint, yes, the gun is the problem, but what leads them to the gun, okay? Mm-hmm. What makes them want to pick up a gun and take the life? My whole thing, even as a young girl, what causes somebody's mental instability? And that's why, I guess, the reason why I went into mental health. And it's not always abuse. It's something like I said, in school, you have some of these teachers who I would sock in the face. Okay, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real right here, okay? Because their mentality is warped. It's like we got a whole bowl of people who've got some mental instability. Then you've got some perverts who want to be around children, who are molesting kids in school, okay? And then it's just a whole gamut of things. just like this woman who shot her husband. She didn't kill him, but I don't think she killed him because he was molesting the babies in the child care. And she went off, okay? It's a mental thing, folks. But the illegal firearms that we're talking about, I can't ship them in. I don't have the money, okay? Nor could I couldn't go to Cuba. I'm not going to Cuba.
Okay. Ain't going if you could.
I sure not.
They had a free ticket.
They just arrested a police officer. Listen to this. Now, she wasn't a police, but she worked for the police force. And she had over $2 million of fentanyl in her car. And she's been using it coming through the police department, using documentations and things like that. See, it's just not the ones that we just talk about live by the way, you know, in the house. We got some law enforcement that are ranked and messed up, okay? Why are they ranked and messed up? We got them coming from the military who is jacked up, okay? And it is what it is. You talking about we have let things, people slip through the crack with these mental issues. Let's deal with the mental issue, okay? Let's deal with how are you going to give out a gun at a carnival? Come on. And you got a whole table of all of these assault rifles and you got people 15, 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, purchasing these things without any kind of background ramification.
Yeah, I think that is stupid. Like you said, like Mike said earlier, you know, you can't drive in this country without a driver's license. And there are many jobs that you have to have a background check. So what's wrong with doing a background check? Find out if this person is mentally stable enough. You know, you take an 18-year-old, they can barely know how to blow their own nose. You know, come on. I had something else to say, but this is a radio for the family, right? So we will keep it family friendly, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. But 18 years old.
There is something that we need to clear up, though, real quick. And Mike, you can help me on this. We have to be clear on this. A bump stop has nothing to do with a gun being fully automatic. When you buy a gun and you make it fully automatic, it's a $10 part that you buy and you put it on the gun. The bump stop has nothing to do with the gun being fully automatic. Let's make that clear.
Okay, good. Let's talk about that $10 part you talk about. What is that? And then that should be banned.
You don't even need the $10
on that. I agree with you on that, but they're two separate issues.
Okay.
It's like $10 part, and you don't even have to be a gunsmith to put it on your gun to make it.
But like you don't even need the $10 part. I can file a sear off on any of my semi-automatic rifles or even my handguns. All I have to do is file off one of the parts in there called the sear, and it'll go fully automatic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And some of these criminals are doing it. Let's get back to the point again. I am tired, sick and tired of our children being afraid to go to school. That should not happen. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to look at the times that we went to school and times now. Like I said now, you had no resource officer there. You had the only person that, who was that had the big hands? He never had to hit me, but it was like the football coach. I think he was in charge of discipline around the school, right? And you didn't want to go into his office. His office was the closet, okay, where he pulled out a paddle. Now, luckily, yeah. I didn't suffer the paddle, but there were many guys that did. You acted up in school. You went to see the football coach. Yeah, and he took care of business there. But the point is, and why how has mental illness gotten so, so out of control here in this country over the last several years? We know there are a lot of mentally ill people. Now, I do know that Reagan, he sort of took money away from the mental illness programs that we had in this country. We know that because right there in California, you know, Patton State Hospital, everybody know about Patton State Hospital in California, right? And that has to be, I know some people that work there, and that is a very violent place. But the point is, what would cause somebody to go out and just say, okay, today I'm just going to shoot up a school. I think that should not happen. And I don't think that our teachers need to be armed either. I don't think that needs to happen. So you have some, the congressman, they says, okay, well, one way to do this is let's arm more teachers. Well, what?
What?
Yeah.
This is not the Wild West, people.
Yeah, but they are arming them already.